It's a pleasure to be here today. Before I start out, I want to recognize, let's scoot this over so I can see my screen down here. I want to recognize my co-author, Dorian Jarrick. He couldn't be here today, but he's one of the members of the genetics team in the Department of Animal Sciences at Colorado State. And a lot of the ideas that I'm going to present today, we've developed those mutually, and so I want to give him credit where credit's due, because without him, some of these research projects that I'm going to talk about wouldn't have gone forward. So just give him some recognition. Okay, if we look at beef production in general, for the most part, beef producers are in the business for one of three reasons, and sometimes a multiple several of these. Some people are in it as a hobby, you know, looking for recognition or just as an enjoyable pastime. Some people are in it from the standpoint they have beef cows because they want to reduce their property taxes and save money that way. Other people are in it to make money and make a living, make a sustainable living so they can stay in it in the long term. So you're going to figure out as I go through this that most of what I talk about today is going to deal with those producers who are profit motivated. Okay, so you're in it to make a living, you're in it to make a long-term living, not just make a buck and get out of the industry. And if you look at animal genetics and breeding in general, we've got two tools. Those are selection and, you know, the state-of-the-art selection tool is an EPD, or expected progeny difference. The other aspect is mating, mate allocation and crossbreeding. And Dr. Neiswinder talked about the benefits of crossbreeding earlier this morning, and gave a good summary of those. So what I want to focus on today is selection, particularly EPD, and how you can use EPD to make more profitable selection decisions. And then I also want to tell you what is just around the corner as far as new tools to help you make better breeding decisions that help you remain profitable and over the long term. Okay. Well, let's take a little bit of a historical look back at genetic evaluation in general and how we've combined economics and genetic improvement. You look at EPDs. You know, you go back in the early 1980s, late 1970s, and we started out with five EPDs: birth weight, weaning weight direct, milk, and yearling weight. Okay. Over time, we've added more EPDs. In some situations, a lot of breeds are over 15 EPDs currently. Okay. If you look at our typical genetic evaluation, we've got those first five we started with, and we've added carcass traits. We've added ultrasound measures of carcass traits that we take on seed stock or breeding animals. We've added EPDs using actual carcass information, quality grade, yield grade, back fat thickness, ribeye area, that type of thing. We've got calvinese, and we've got a mix of others. And up until now, our perspective has been, if you as producers can measure it, we can produce an EPD for it, right? That's generally the situation. If it's something we can measure in an animal, we can come up with an EPD for it. Okay, so going with that, we've got made a list of all the traits that we can measure. Okay, so I'm here to tell you in 2 years we're going to have EPD for all of these. Is that going to help us out? I don't know about you, but I couldn't make a good selection decision with that many EPD, right? For me, it would be information overload. There's no way to really combine all those EPDs to actually make a good bull selection decision or choose the right replacement heifers that's going to increase the profitability of your breeding program or increase the profitability of your calves in a feedlot. It's just too much information, okay? So, if we look historically, though, our EPDs have been proven, they're accepted, and they're pretty well used in some situations. Others, EPD may not be used quite as well. Okay? And our assumption has been is that as we develop more EPDs, that we're better able to characterize those individuals. Okay? And if we can characterize those individuals, then there should be some relationship that increased information should allow us to make a more profitable breeding decision. But the problem is, okay, that proliferation of EPD, again, that ever-increasing list of traits, okay, and many of those EPD aren't directly related to our economic goals. They're what we call indicators. Okay, they're indicator traits. They're indicators of traits or performance that actually make a difference to our overall profitability. Okay, so what I want to talk about the rest of this this afternoon from my section is how what are some options for combining economic information or for using EPD to help us make more economically sound breeding decisions and bull purchase decisions and replacement heifer purchase decisions? Okay? All right. Going back to the historical perspective. Originally, the way we would do this was to develop what we call a selection index. And this idea was originally put forth in 1943 by Lenoy Hazel. And at that stage, it really wasn't implemented a lot, mainly because we didn't have computer power to be able to process the amount of information that we needed to actually come up with good selection indexes. Since that time, with the advancement in computer technology, these have been successfully implemented. So what I want to do is give you two examples of how different organizations have used this technology to become more profitable. Okay. The first one was developed in 1976, used this idea of Hazel, and it's an organization actually out of New Zealand that looked at their beef production system. Okay, this was a rather large organization. I think they had roughly 60,000 cows. Okay, so they said, what's going to make a difference to our profitability? Well, at that time in 1976, there were five things. Okay, what did your calves slaughter at? Slaughter weight of their progeny. Okay. The other thing was, what did those dress at? What was the mature weight of their cows, the cull cows? What did those dress at? Okay, because remember, the New Zealand cow industry, most of that goes into grind that gets shipped to us. Right? And the other thing was, what is fertility? What is the influence of fertility on their overall profitability? Now, I don't want you to get lost in all the numbers associated with this, but essentially they looked at those five factors and how they influence those five factors influence their income. Okay? And they wanted to look at some way they could simultaneously select on all those to come up with a better method for making economic improvement. Okay? A lot of those they didn't measure. But they did measure things like we typically measure. We typically measure weaning weight. We measure it on our cows. When they're calves, we measure it on their offspring. We keep track of cow records. And we take yearling weight. So they did that same thing. They said, how are we going to combine those? Well, they talked to some consultants and actually some people in their agricultural research programs, and they came up with an index. And this is just an example here, okay, in red. It essentially weights how many calves will the cow produce, what was the weaning weight of the cow, what was the weaning weight of her offspring, and what was the yearling weight of her offspring. Okay, so we combined those four things, and this is the results of selecting on this index over time from 1976 to 1993. And you see in all of those instances, they made simultaneous genetic improvement. The interesting part was the fact, if you look at the top right graph, is that mature weight, mature cow size in their program stayed relatively constant, but slaughter weight of their progeny went up. Which is kind of counterintuitive, because normally you think, well, you select bigger animals for slaughter, you're going to get an increase in mature cow size. They didn't see that using this index. And the most encouraging aspect is the fact in that bottom graph, that is an actual trend in dollars. Okay? And it says $4.32. I don't know if you in the back can see that, but that's in 1976 dollar terms. Okay? So we'd have to adjust that for inflation. But they were satisfied that they had made an economic improvement over their production system by selecting animals based only on the characteristics that influence their profitability. Okay, that's one example of an index. The next one was one that Mike McNeil from the Fort Keogh Research Station in Miles City, Montana, recently published. He took Gordon Dickerson's index of yearling weight and birth weight. Okay, now this isn't directly an economic index, but it's one that says, all right, if we were to select for larger animals at yearling, we know that our birth weight's going to creep up. Okay, this index was developed so you could get as much improvement in yearling weight as possible while maintaining birth weight to the relative constant level. So you can see the top line is what their trend in their index was. Then the next one below that was they had a positive trend in yearling weight. They were increasing that. And then the bottom one was birth weight. Didn't change much. Okay? So the index that was developed actually worked for the purpose or the original goal that they started with. Okay, so if you look at these, there are ways we can combine economics and we can combine traits into values that help us improve those traits that directly influence our profitability simultaneously. And this has been done historically. So what we want to do is look at our current options. And then at the end, we want to explore, or I want to tell you about some of the new tools that we're working on at Colorado State and in a consortium with several other universities to develop. Okay, the first option is to stay with the status quo. We're going to go through each of these a little bit more in depth here shortly. Another one is develop an index, which is doable. Okay, and then the last one is to select on economically relevant traits. All right. Now, to proceed past this, you need to get an idea of what I mean, the economically relevant traits. Okay, economically relevant traits are traits that directly influence either a cost of production or an income associated with production of a commercial operation. Okay, so what that says is, I know we've got some feedstock breeders in here and we've got some commercial people. What we're saying is, when it comes down to it, the commercial producer produces the majority of beef for this country, and they are consuming most of the product that comes from our seed stock industry in the form of germplasm, replacement bulls. Okay, so the idea is to make the commercial sector as profitable as we can so that there's better demand for those animals from the seed stock industry that will improve their profitability. So when we look at economically relevant traits, we focus on those traits that make a direct have a direct influence on the profitability of the commercial sector. Okay. Now let's contrast that with indicator traits. There are a lot of things we measure that aren't directly related to profitability. The reason we do that is because they actually make the accuracy of our EPD, or they add information to our genetic evaluation, our ability to pick the right animal. And they do this through pleiotropy, or think of it as a genetic correlation. There's a genetic relationship between those two classes of traits. Okay. So the question is, when you're identifying these economically relevant traits, and again, they're going to be specific for each of your production systems, is what do they directly affect your cost or your income? Okay. So what I did is, we're going to go through one example, and I have a bad habit of giving quizzes, and some of you may have seen this before. I've used this example. But these are all things we measure, right? In the seed stock sector, we can measure all of these things. All right, now if you had to weight those by their influence on your profitability, it'd be pretty difficult. Well, what's the relative importance of pelvic area versus gestation length versus birth weight versus calving ease? The main reason we measure all of those is because we want to be able to predict what is the chance that this bull's offspring are going to be born unassisted. Okay? We want to know, will they be born unassisted, or do I have to get up every 2 hours and check the heifers and make sure we're not having a problem? So if you think about this on another scale, okay, look at two bulls. One bull produces calves who have in your operation that produces calves that on average weigh 80 pounds. The other one produces calves that on average weigh 90 pounds. If you look at birth weight and you assume all of those calves from both of those sires are born unassisted, is there any difference in value? Just for birth weight, there's not, right? If you separate that from weaning weight, remember we've got a weaning weight EPD that we're actually going to talk about here in a little bit. That takes into account the fact that heavier calves will probably weigh more at weaning. But if you look just at birth weight, what you really care about is whether those calves are born unassisted, they're born alive, you don't have health problems associated with difficult births. So the question remains, how do we make sense of the EPDs we've already got? Okay, and the first option I alluded to earlier was the fact that we could stick with the status quo, where you use some perceived value, and I'll tell you what, we've all gotten good at this. We can go to a sale and say, well, weaning weight, you think about this maybe subconsciously. Weaning weight is worth this to me because I sell calves at weaning. Scroll circumference is worth so much to me. I don't have a problem breeding my heifer, so maybe it's not valued as much. Okay, so that's using that status quo, what we normally do when we go to a bull sale. The best thing about that is the easiest method we can employ, right? The worst thing is it's probably the least accurate method we can employ to make good, economically sound breeding decisions. Okay. The second option is to develop an index. We know it's proven. We talked about it here just a little bit ago, gave you two examples of how that can work. Okay. The bad part about it is it requires, if you want to put the economics with it, it requires rather detailed knowledge of your cost of production and where your sources of income are coming from. Okay. And in some cases, depending on how technical you want to get, it requires either the help of a consultant or somebody else trained in the area of economics and genetics together. Okay. So that can be a problem. All right. So that was option two. Third option, okay, and there's different levels of complexity when we start talking about this third option for combining economics and genetic improvement. Okay, the first one, the easiest level of this is to just examine your operation. Take a look at those EPDs. When you go to a bull sale or you go to a replacement female sale, you look at the EPDs and say, what really is going to make a difference in my operation? What are my weaknesses and how am I going to solve those? Okay, so that makes this one a relatively easy to implement. Okay, and it also reduces the number of traits that are important to you. If you're selling all your calves at weaning, okay, and you're selling them where there's no value-added system coming back to you, perhaps you want to focus on weaning rate, right? If you're retaining ownership or you're selling to someone who's going to sell it, give you a premium for animals that perform well in the feedlot or perform well when they get shipped to wheat pasture, okay, then you have to start adding other traits that you want to focus on improvement. You may not have a problem, on the other hand, with birth weight, okay? So the value of birth weight or the value of calving ease when you make a selection decision isn't as high. Okay. Now, the thing that we've been working on is development of a different perspective for EPD, so it, hopefully you could put value with those selection decisions a lot easier. And that's what I mean by the second point on the con. We haven't provided you the tool, as geneticists, we haven't provided you with the appropriate tools to make good breeding decisions. Okay. Now, you can take this concept of economically relevant traits to the next level. Okay, and that takes a little bit more detailed knowledge of your costs and your incomes, and you need to know that by an enterprise level as well. Okay, but what we want hope to do, and some of the things that I'm about to talk about or about to show you, will hopefully make it easier for you to focus on the economically relevant traits and make it specific to what your costs of production are. Your costs of production here in this part of Nebraska are a lot different than southern Colorado or where I grew up in Oklahoma. The costs are not the same. Different feed resources, different climates, so there's different value associated with different traits. Okay, so I give my final in the undergraduate animal breeding class on Monday. Okay, so I had to give you guys a quiz. All right, if you went to a sale and you had an option of choosing a bull that had a weaning weight EPD of plus 16 and a weaning weight EPD of plus 32, what's the value of that bull? What's the value of his offering? What's the value associated? Well, what will he do to your income? The easiest thing to do is say, all right, well, I'm going to get 16 pounds more calf. And let's say I'm going to get them sold for $1.05, which may not be realistic today. Okay, so you'd expect, on average, that bull is going to add $16.80 value to your those offspring. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to take that one step further and start to discuss how we can actually put a value on a weaning weight EPD, knowing several things and knowing that weaning weight EPD is going to have an impact on other performance characteristics of my cow herd. So we're going to go through an example where we've got a 400 cow herd. And I've got to get started here. Okay. Hopefully you can see this we're going to talk about how you might actually value that. And when Dorian and I put this together, what we want to do is put together a simple way of valuing different EPDs that you could get by going online, pulling out Dr. Rick Gordon's genetics text that's readily available, any of those, and actually come up with a value associated with that with different selection decisions. So this one deals specifically with weaning weight. If you look over here, okay, right there, that was the value we calculated, $16.80. Okay, now let's assume we're going to keep replacement females. All right, we're going to keep replacement females that are produced by this sire. But we know that if we select on weaning weight, we're also going to increase mature size. Okay, so looking up a few values, we figure out that 16 pounds weaning weight is actually going to give us a cow that's 30 pounds heavier. Okay, we're going to increase mature cow size 30 pounds. So we go up here to our cow weight column. Let's say we start with a 1,200-pound cow. So now we're stuck with a 1,230-pound cow on average. Okay, and over here we've done a few calculations based on metabolic weights and the NRC to come up with what they should eat per day. Okay, now we're making an assumption here. We're making an assumption that you, as a producer, are an optimal manager. That is, you're using your feed resources to the fullest, most appropriate extent. Okay, so we got a basic assumption here that you're not going to buy excess hay. So if you were just stuck with the current land mass you had, the current feed resources, that increase in 30 pounds on a 400 head herd would mean you have to run 7 less cows. Okay? Because larger cows are going to eat more, require more feed. Okay, so let's look at the overall value of this. Okay, the difference in the sale weight of those two and times $1.05 per pound, okay, figured out the value. One was $177,000, a little over, and the other one was a little over $179,000. Okay, so the value, the difference in those two bulls in a mating system was worth $2,700. Okay, and if you look on a per cow, I think we bred these bulls to 40 cows, figures out to be $6.80 a calf, assuming you're keeping replacements back. So that's considerably different from the $16.80 that we originally came up with. Okay? So weaning weight is a trait that's hard to value. What this means, okay, is that we need another characteristic, or we need something that tells us, that represents how much a cow will eat given they are sired or produced by particular sires. Okay? So at Colorado State, we just released a new EPD for that economically relevant trait of how much will a cow eat? What are her maintenance feed requirements? And as you'll see at the end of this presentation, this is freely available. This technology that we developed is freely available to all the breed associations, whether they use their calculations at Colorado State or not. And it's primarily the result of a lot of support we've gotten from the industry to do this type of research. The other thing that we're working on is what we call a production or a days to finish EPD. Okay, so if you're a feedlot, you retain your calves in the feedlot, or your feedlot operator, you can actually value the time those animals take in your feedlot to reach a target endpoint, a target finish point. So you want them to grade choice, or you want them yield grade 2.5. Okay, or hit a certain live weight or a certain carcass weight. We're currently working on those because any of you who retain ownership, you know, I bet next month's paycheck that you know how much it costs you per head per day in the feedlot. Right? You know how much that costs. So if we come up with an EPD that represents how long those animals take to feed, it makes it easier for you to value a certain bull purchase decision or a selection decision. Okay? So in the example I just used, we used weaning weight is our economically relevant trait. We're selling calves at weaning, keeping heifers back. Okay, we went into another example. And this one deals with just looking at stayability. Because a lot of people don't realize if you select on stayability, it actually has some added benefits that we don't account for. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, stayability is, what is the probability, if this heifer has a calf, that she's going to stay in my herd at least 6 years producing calves? Okay, the genetic evaluation Warren Snelling actually developed at Colorado State, and it looked at essentially length of productive life. Okay, so the question is, what is the difference in value of these? Okay, so what I've done is, if you think about, I want to go to my average. We look at our average bull, the one we could have selected with a zero stayability EPD. And what we say is half of his daughters will make it to 6 years of age. And that's what's highlighted in red, 0.5. Okay? And then we've added some other parameters. Let's say the weaning weight for mature cows is 468 pounds. Our calf survival is at 95. We're still with that 400 cow herd. Okay? So that's our average bull. If we use that average bull and use his daughters in the herd, we end up with, a little over 168,000 pounds weaned from those cows. Okay? So what's going to happen if we choose an animal or a sire that produces daughters that last longer in the herd? What are you going to do? You're going to have more cows that reach mature age, right? What's going to happen to the weaning weight? Well, older cows, that 5 to 10 age group, produce heavier calves because they're not putting as much into their own growth requirements, right? So we actually, by selecting on stayability, one, we actually increase the number of cows that make it to 6 years of age, so now we're adding a stability 19%, so 69% make it to 6 years of age, which means that we have calves that are heavier because we have more cows that are older. Okay? So we got an interaction here. We got stability, which influences fertility. If you got cows that last longer, okay, you've actually got heavier calves because you've got an age distribution that favors the older cow. So economically, what that ends up being is I took the total sale weight of calves at weaning for the average bull and the plus 19 stayability. That gains us $1,800, just that selection decision. Okay. The other consequence of that, if you have longer cows that make it longer in your herd or survive to 6 years of age, you don't have to put in as many replacements. Okay, so that's a value to you. The only thing is, on the negative side, you're not culling as many cows. Okay, so that's a reduction in income. All right. So if you figure this out over a 400 cow herd, okay, it figures out to about $10,000 just based on that one trait, taking into account all of the interactions associated with increasing fertility. Okay, and Dr. Nyswiner again did a very good job talking about the relative importance of traits. Again, this just reemphasizes the importance of really improving, if you can, the fertility of your cow herd. This looks at selection on EPD. Dr. Nyswiner talked about the benefits of crossbreeding. Okay, so we had average out, I think, about $568 per percent stayability. Okay, so our desire, Dorian and my desire, is that we the take-home message from this, some of this can get pretty technical, but we try to develop these spreadsheets to make it easier for you to value a selection decision. Okay, but in the absence of that technology, focus on what really makes a difference to your profitability. Okay? Because you're going to make faster progress than by taking a shotgun approach and trying to improve everything, even things or EPDs or traits that don't directly influence your profitability. Okay, so the three options we went through were stay with your status quo, develop an index, which is doable. Occasionally means you some consulting or some expertise is required. The other option is to focus on the economically relevant traits. Okay, so if you had to choose between calving ease and birth weight, calving ease is really what you want to improve. Okay, if you had to choose between scrotal circumference and heifer fertility, assuming all your bulls pass BSE, okay, what you really want to focus on is heifer pregnancy. Okay, so narrowing down what your selection objectives are to improve your profitability. Okay, now a lot of these new technologies that are coming out, the maintenance feed requirements, the days on feed in the feedlot, have been part of an effort of the National Beef Cattle Evaluation Consortium. For those of you who aren't familiar, there's actually four universities in the United States that do the majority of EPD calculations. Colorado State is one of those, and our mission statement is here below. Essentially, we want to use genetics through the help of some extra funding from Congress to actually make it easier for you to make profitable breeding decisions and maintain your economic sustainability. So I'm done.